Shalom Aleichem, Mishnah Yomi continues for Vav Iyar, the 21st of the Omer count. We are in chapter 3 of Sotah, Mishnah Gimel. Ad shelo nimhaka hamagillah, prior to the erasure of the scroll we mentioned yesterday would write certain verses of the Sotah process, including Hashem's holy name, onto a parchment, and the ink would be scraped off into the Sotah's cup of water from the Kior. So if prior to this point, Amra Eini Shota, she says, I'm not going to drink. She admits that she was guilty. She doesn't want to go through with the test and perish. Migilota Nig Nezit. So her scroll is put into Geniza. And Geniza is a place of, you know, burial, disposal in a dignified manner for scrolls and books that contain Hashem's name. We don't just throw holy books into the garbage. God forbid, we actually bury them nowadays by a Jewish cemetery in a dignified manner. Uminchata and her meal offering, mitzpazeret ala deshen. It just gets scattered over the ashes. And this is the ashes of Beit HaDeshen, you know, where they put disqualified offerings. They can't eat it, it's just got to get left. Ein megilata kashera, and her scroll is not kosher, is not fitting, lahashkut ba'sota acheret. To use, to erase into a different sota to give to drink. You can't recycle the scroll. It's written specifically for this particular sota wife. But nimhaka hamagillah, if the scroll was already erased, they scraped off the letters, including Hashem's sacred name, into her water, the amra, and now she says, tamea ani, she admits that she was unfaithful, that she strayed from her husband, Hamayim nishbachim, they have to pour out the water, minchata mitpazeret al hadoshin, and they again have to scatter the mincha, can't be eaten. Nimhaka megillah, if they've already erased the scroll, including Hashem's name, but amra, and now she says, ena shota, she says, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to go through with it. Now she doesn't admit that she was guilty of infidelity, she just says, I'm not going to do it. So now this is past the point of no return. She can either admit that she was guilty, or if she does not, me'ararin ota, they force her. Umashkin ota bel korcha, they basically pour it down her throat, unless she's willing to admit that she was unfaithful. At this point, they've already erased Hashem's name that was prepared to perform the test. So they say, listen, you admit your guilt, or we do the test. Now, on to Mishnah Dalit. You should know it reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in Mishnah Bet, who said they perform the mincha, and then they give the drink. The other sages said they give the drink, and then they perform the mincha, the meal offering, and at that point the water starts working. So this is Rabbi Shimon. Eina maspeket lishtot. She's not even done drinking the whole cup. Ad shepeneha morikot. Her face will turn green or turn pale. Eneha boltot. The eyes bulge. He mitmolit gidin. And her veins are visibly bulging. Vehem omrim. And the kohanim who are there, remember she's at Shara Nicanor, right at the entrance to the temple, the Esrit Nashim, Hotziua, take her away from the temple, Shalota Tameh Azara, so she does not bring contamination into the courtyard. But the Mishnah explains not every sota had an immediate effect from drinking the water. Im yesh lo zechut, if she has merits, haita tole law, they could suspend her punishment. The Mishnah elaborates, yesh zechut tole shana achat, some merits give her a reprieve of a year. The Gemara explains she drives carpool to take the children to learn Torah. She tells her husband he should go to Shir, he should go learn Torah, he should go learn the Mishnah Yomi. So we see learning Mishnah Yomi can add years to the life. Mishnah says, Yesh zechut tole shtei shanim, certain merits can add 2 years. Yesh zechut tole shalosh shanim. And you know, more mitzvot, more gemilut chasadim, helping people tzedakah could, you know, lengthen her life before she's punished. Mikan Omer ben Azai. So because of this, ben Azai taught, Chayav Adam lelamed et bito Torah. A man must teach his daughter Torah. Now this is a complex topic. In prior generations, it was not as common to teach women Torah besides the basics, Tanakh and the Chumash. Now of course, women 100 years ago often were more well-versed in halacha of shechita and food preparation, malicha, kashrut. They often had to know, you know, you had to have a kosher household, you have to have a shomer Shabbat household. So women from 100, 200 years ago may not have been well educated, but might have actually known more halakha lemaase, practical laws of Judaism, than well-educated students in yeshiva today. The Gemara also brings instances where there were women who were asking sages to explain certain verses, so we do see that even in ancient times, Jewish women could read, while most men and women who are non-Jewish could not read 1,000 years ago, and they were learning. So really what we're talking about is learning, sort of Gemara-level learning, in detail, and svara, and the logic, and the arguments. So he explains, Im Tishte, if his, God forbid, his daughter becomes a sota and she drinks the water, teida, she'll know shazuchut tolela, that she didn't die right away because she has merit. She has merit from learning Torah and doing mitzvot. She's not going to come to question and mock the sota ritual because she knows that merit can delay punishment. Of course, nowadays, I say nowadays, since over 100 years ago with the Chafetz Chaim, especially in Europe, you know, when the non-Jewish nations made mandatory education for women, the rabbi said, listen, if they're going to go to a public school, it's not going to work out very well for the Jewish people. We need to teach our daughters more and in more depth, in more detail, you know, with a more established system. And Baruch Hashem, it's taken off. You know, to the point where some people joke, and maybe it's not a joke, that the girls coming out of high school know Tanakh and know Chumash better than the boys. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Ben-Azi, says, Kolam Alamed Bito Torah, anyone who's teaching his daughter Torah, meaning in-depth, logic, Gemara-level Torah, Kilo Alamda Tiflut. It's like he's teaching her like how to work around the laws of Sota and get the Tiflut, like the intimacy and the company that she wants. If you teach her all the technicalities of the warning and the process and the Sota, she might find workarounds to go outside her marriage without getting killed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he adds, Rotze Isha Bekav V'Tiflut. He says a woman would rather have a husband who's not wealthy, but is there for her, is intimate with her, is spending time with her, Mitisha Kabin Prishut, from having 9 kav, which is 9 times more food and wealth, and Prishut, and she never sees her husband because he's always away on business trips, managing investments, he's just not available for her. Hu Haya Omer, and he would also say, Chasid Shote, a pious one who's a idiot, Rosha Arum, a cunning evildoer, Ve'isha Prusha, and a woman who pretends to be saintly, she pretends to be a tzedekis, Makot Prushim, and the injuries of the saintly, they're pretending to be tzedekim, Hare Elu Mechole Olam, these things undermine the world. These people are world destroyers. Now what this means is these people are pretending to be pious. The chassid showed to the Gemara as an example, he's a chassid, and he never looks at women, and he hears a woman screaming from the river, help, help, I'm drowning. And he says, I can't even look at her. She's in her bathing suit. I can't even touch her. I'm not going to save her. So he's literally causing the loss of a life. Rasha Arum, the Gemara says, is he talks to the judge about his case before the other parties in the room. So he has like the judge predisposed to be in his favor. Isha Prusha is a woman who pretends that her prayers work. And maybe she's using witchcraft or some poisoning or something to prevent another woman from conceiving. And then she says, oh, listen, I'll pray for you and you'll have a child. And then she removes whatever poison or voodoo she's doing. And the woman conceives and everyone thinks she's a righteous woman. Makot Prushim is, you know, people who hit themselves or roll around in the snow. Or they're always walking with their eyes on the ground and bumping into things, you know, to pretend that they're great, righteous people. And they're just, you know, it's like a false front here. The idea being, again, that people who are pretending to be something they're not are, you know, stealing the hearts, like we saw by Avshalom, and pretending to be a tzaddik is not going to get you anywhere. Yashar Korach, Zay Gesund.